Hello and welcome to another episode of MetaSidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. Today we're going to be talking about listener stories. I was planning on doing a podcast revolving around the spring equinox and like certain celebrations and pagan and non-pagan cool information and facts, but that's just not how the stars aligned. So we're doing listener stories this week, which I'm excited about because the listener stories that have been sent in the past have been so good that these are some that I had planned on talking about, but just ran out of time to do. So I'm excited to revisit them all with you today. If you guys are new to the podcast, thank you. If you also have heard about listener stories before on other podcasts, because that is where the inspiration for this came from, was all of the other lovely podcasters out there that also do listener stories. But the caveat with this podcast, listeners' stories, is that me, as a professional psychic medium, will be telling your stories and hopefully, to the best of my abilities, giving you insight or at least my perspective as someone who talks to dead people, communicates with souls, spirits, etc., and the like. I'll tell you what I think about it and have to perceive or not regarding your story. So that's just the little fun loop-de-doop and pull that this podcast offers, hopefully, with respect to other listener stories. So anyways, before we get into today's podcast, I'm going to give you all a life update. If you don't want to listen about the things that I ponder about personally, that's okay. You can go down to the show notes or the description below if you're listening on the MetaPsychics Extras YouTube channel and click past this and then go straight into the listener stories. There'll be timestamps so you can just whoop right on over. But without further ado, this is the things that I've been thinking about. Okay. I don't know if I want to talk about courage or if I want to talk about being okay and accepting the fact that people are multifaceted human beings with dimension and purpose that is not just singular. Maybe we could talk about both. I mean, courage kind of goes into both of them anyways. So, like, I've been thinking about the fact that, how do I want to phrase this? No one can make you feel a certain way except yourself, right? That's one thing I've also been trying to think about. As someone who's on the internet and there's lots of comments and people's perceptions and opinions about you, sometimes it's hard to read comments and just like scroll past them and not feel personally sad. So when it comes to the idea or perspective that only you can make yourself feel a certain way, not necessarily others. Yes, it's not fun when people say mean things about you or are very like hypercritical of certain things about yourself, but only you choose to like let that influence you or not. And that's a very hard thing. So I'm more so wanting to restructure this idea of, I feel like a lot of people say that society makes you feel this way, yada, yada, yada. Yes, society can influence you, but it's only how much you allow yourself to be influenced type of thing. Because I've been trying to get out of the sort of not self-loathing idea of woe is me, all of my problems are because of this, and I'm just a byproduct of my environment type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to sort of empower myself to not feel like a victim. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to, with what I want to talk about, I want to not say that I am the victim of such, but that I am starting to understand that I have control over my emotions and how I feel and how I act about them. And it's not just an involuntary response that is coaxed from me because of other things. I hope that makes sense. I don't know. I'm trying to talk about the fact that I've been feeling like a fish in a tree for a while. I've been reading a lot of Dr. Seuss books to my son and just books in general, and these children's books slap when it comes to like feelings and emotions and understanding the world around you. I've watched so much Mr. Rogers now. I feel like Mr. Rogers is not necessarily a child show. It's a show that adults should watch to heal their inner child. I never watched Mr. Rogers as a child, but regardless, I've been feeling like a fish in a tree. And I think that is because society has a way that can lead to you feeling like you have to be one certain something. Hence why I went through this whole rigor mortis of trying to say, like, this isn't a woe is me victim type of thing. It's just, I understand that I am in control of my own emotions. So, and how I feel and how I perceive things. So I feel like I'm just talking in circles. I need to stop trying to be so well-rounded in this explanation of how I feel. It's just simply that I feel like for a long time, I've thought that my identity as an individual has to be singular. Like, if you are a doctor, you identify only as a doctor with doctorly things. And as a medium, I feel like since that's my profession, I'm supposed to identify only with medium things and spiritual stuff and be this guru of knowledge for all of these different things. But that's not the case. Just like, because you work at a company doesn't mean that you're only an accountant and do accountant things. And I saw a video where this person was riding a bicycle, right? Just had a bicycle with like some shoes and like maybe one of those spandex stretchy shorts. And this person was playing the same person, but a different one. You know what I'm saying? And he was like, oh, you like to ride bicycles. Do you compete? And the guy's like, no. Do you know all of these things about bicycles? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, well, why do you ride bicycles if you don't do X, Y, and Z and you're not a professional and know everything about it? And he's like, well, I just like riding bicycles. And that has been bothering me. The fact that we're able to just like different things and not have to be an expert in it. You can be a medium. You can be someone that likes pets. You can be someone that likes astrology. You can be someone that likes ceremonial magic or not ceremonial magic. You could be someone that likes to go hiking, but just does it in your Converse. You don't have to have fancy hiking shoes and backpacks and tents and all this other stuff. You could just like hiking because you like hiking. So it's, I feel like in some areas I've been restricting myself to feel like a fish in a tree because there's this quote, I don't remember if it's from Einstein or someone else, but it's kind of like if you told a fish that they had to live in a tree, they would always feel out of sorts. And I'm finally feeling that I don't have to be a fish in a tree. I can just be a fish and do things that are good and not have to worry about it and just go with the flow and swim in the sea type of thing. I feel like I've been rambling too long on this. I had like this really cool way that I thought I was going to talk about this, and I feel like I've just absolutely foobered it to high heck. But yeah, for example, on Patreon, I was talking about how I really enjoyed the planets that we could see on January 25th. I like bundled up my family. We went out and looked up at the stars and my son was like, wow, in his little snowsuit in the middle of the night. And I was talking to someone about this and they were like, oh, so you really like astrology and astronomy and like know everything about the planets and stuff. And they started shooting all these questions off at me. And I was like, no, I just like looking at the stars. And knowing when it's happening makes it more cool. And they were like, really? You don't know anything else about it? And I was like, nope, I thought that Venus was actually Saturn, but Saturn is not Venus. And my husband had to correct me, but it still didn't take away from the fact that I like to enjoy those things. Another thing was I've been really hard on myself because for a long time, probably 2 years, I have been wanting to research green witch things so that I could teach people about it on Patreon. However, I am not good with raising plants. I'm not good at planting them. I'm not good at taking care of them once they actually are planted. I forget about them. It's very bad. I do not have a green thumb. My husband, on the other hand, very green thumb. Literally saved one of my fig plants from the brink of death because I had not taken care of it so much so that it was like, please, someone kill me. And he was like, here, little buddy, I'll take care of you. And now he's angry and super happy. And by angry, I mean like angrily growing, I think just to spite me and the fact that I almost killed him so hard. But it's been weighing on me because I feel like I'm a failure because I cannot do green witch things. However, I'm very, very good at looking at flowers And I'm very good at identifying flowers and sitting and just enjoying their company. And I was talking with my friend and we were explaining, or at least we weren't explaining, we were just discussing the ideas of spirituality and how being a green witch doesn't mean that you have to necessarily raise plants and make poultices and things like that. You can just have spiritual connection and green witchy vibes just from being someone that enjoys flowers and likes to go and look at them and smell them and sit in their presence and listen to the bees as they fly and hum from one flower to the next. Similarly to the man that I saw the video about on the biker, he enjoys going for bike rides. That doesn't make him any less of a biker than anyone else. It just means that his relationship with bikes is different than maybe someone else has. So that's a little bit about what I've been thinking about when it comes to like who you can be. I just feel like there's so much pressure put on how people structure sentences to express themselves that could make someone feel that they have to identify with one large part of the pie chart that is their characteristics. However, we are pie charts that are beautiful and dynamic and colorful, and you can be someone that likes to crochet and knit and underwater dive, and you don't have to just pick or identify with one of those things. You could also just embrace every part of yourself and be happy and not think so hard and try to put yourself in a box. I feel like we're all just trying to put ourselves in boxes, which makes sense from like a psychological standpoint, but also I feel like putting yourself in a box isn't good for your heart. And that's something that I'm learning and trying to step out of and just like ease my heart away from things like that. So the last thing is courage. I may as well just talk about it. I was talking with one of my dear friends about courage because of the things that are going on within the United States right now. We're not talking about specific things or certain things because we could go on and on about that for days. However, we were just talking about how the things, the political, socioeconomic climate of the United States brings sadness to my friend and I and confusion and other just emotions. So we were talking about, in spite of all of our nervousness towards the socioeconomic political climate of the United States, because this is not a political podcast at all, it's a spiritual podcast, we were just talking about how it could be very important to be courageous in this instance. And I'm not talking about like big, radical, dramatic things, but just simply for the fact that when you feel like you're too scared to even just go outside, or too sad to go outside, have the courage to go outside and enjoy the day in any way, shape, or form that you can in order to help combat the sadness and all of the other things that are going around. Because being courageous could be as little as just going outside for a second and being like, I'm allowed to be happy for a moment. So anyways, just little things, because you don't think about courage as little as that, but being courageous can come in all different shapes and sizes as well. Just the courage to make breakfast and go to work and come back home. So, I don't know. Do with that what you will. That was a long rant. I hope it was beneficial or helpful to someone who's listening. But without further ado, let's get into the listener stories.
Everyone's talking about AI these days, right? This season on Compiler, we're diving deep into how AI is reshaping the world we live in. Join us for a new season of Compiler, an original podcast from Red Hat. Subscribe now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
First and foremost, I have forgotten to do this for like three listener stories, but in episode 185, which was Listener Stories Volume 25, The first story that I talked about was by a lovely lady called Sophie M. And in her story, she talks about filming in like a haunted manor in Wales. And I said that perhaps her director going downstairs with their quote unquote lightsaber to look into paranormal activity might have been a loss in translation of the use of lightsaber, because they're from across the pond. I was like, oh, maybe lightsaber for them means like a flashlight. No. Sophie, you emailed me, and I know it's been a while. I've just been very busy with work and life. I 100% loved the picture that you sent me of you and your director. I presume you and your director. I forget. I have to go back and reread the email. But of you guys with literal freaking lightsabers. So I just wanted to make that clear, that if you go back and listen to podcast episode 185, listener stories, when they talk about lightsabers, Sophie was not joking. They were actually going through the haunted halls of a manor house in Wales with actual lightsabers. And I think that is the only way that paranormal activity should now be investigated with henceforth. Only with lightsabers. No flashlights, nothing. Just lightsabers. Anyways, thank you, Sophie, for that picture. I just wanted you to know that I did get it. I've just been very busy, and I didn't want you to think that I forgot about you. Now, speaking of people being forgotten, these are the listener stories that I have not been able to get to in the past, but did list. The first one we're going to talk about today is by Kate or Kat. I want to say Kate because the E at the end of your name should, according to my English grammar teacher, make the A in your name an A, not an A. So I'm going to say Kate E. Your story titled My Haunted Doll. Kate says, "Hi, my name is Kate. So one day I was scrolling through eBay and I came across a beautiful doll and her name was Sunshine. Now I associate the word sunshine with my grandma, so I felt it was her telling me to buy the doll. So I bought her. Well, one day I was sitting in my living room with the doll in a deep meditation and I asked to see the spirit that was attached to this doll. All of a sudden, from the shoulders up came this floating head of an older woman with long white hair. She never looked at me, but she had a shy look to her face and had very sunken in looking cheeks. Then I realized I could see my living room behind her and I opened my eyes. How did I see my living room with my eyes closed? It was bizarre." Kate, I really like how your question at the end of this is not, why did I see an old woman's face floating from the shoulders of my dolls with my eyes closed in my living room, but simply, how did I see my living room with my eyes closed? I just love it. It makes me so happy. Your question, it's fabulous. So how did you see your living room with your eyes closed, Kate? Well, when I am viewing or channeling, connecting with energy, if you will, channeling, I say, would be the most professional way to explain it. Channeling energy, I don't actually see things physically 99.99% of the time. I am what you would call a mental medium, which is something you can laugh at because it's kind of funny. Anyways, what you were experiencing is clairvoyance. When I perceive souls or spirits or information, I see it in my mind's eye, i.e., can you, if you're listening right now, and when I ask you, can you envision a flower, a taco, a bumblebee, whatever? If you can, great. Some people can't, which is also okay too. It all just depends on how your brain works. Some people can't envision things in their mind. They can only see things physically. However, you, Kate, can envision things in your mind. Hence, how you were able to envision your living room too. You were channeling the energy of the room around you and you asked to see the soul or spirit that could be attached to this doll. So you were either channeling the energy of the living room and the doll, the energetic spiritual energy around you, if you will, or you were just seeing it in your head too, because you're really good at envisioning things in your mind as well. So it could be both literal and spiritual, if you will. I hope that answers your question. Some people, like, for example, if you ever were to get a private Zoom reading with me, right? I do readings over Zoom because it, on like a phone call, we can see each other and I think it's more personable. So when I do Zoom readings with people, for their own private readings, I always give the disclaimer, if you've never had a reading with me before, please excuse if I make funny faces, look one way or the other, etc., because I'm just perceiving information that we can't actually see. Which is true. I don't see spirits how you would see me if I was standing in front of you. I see them as mental imagery, just as how Kate was able to envision her living room and the lady's head floating over the doll. The reason too, if you're asking, why am I not answering who this old woman was? I'm not sure. I don't think she's your grandmother, even though you bought the doll because their name was Sunshine. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if the head of the woman floating above the doll was related to the doll. Oh, okay. I just have to talk about it and it helps me. I feel like the reason you saw the face over the doll and she wasn't looking at you was because you may have been able to tap into the energy of the doll with present and past tense psychic abilities, right? So present abilities would be your ability to envision the energy or the room around you when you're asking for information. However, I think what you saw as the head of the woman floating from the top of or the shoulder of the dolls was the woman who may have owned the doll before you. However, I'm not saying that the soul of the woman was contacting you. I think you were perceiving the residual energy or the energy spiritually attached to the doll from the past. Almost as if you were, like if you walked into an antique store and you closed your eyes, Kate, and you envisioned the antique store behind you and you started asking questions in spirit or to your spirit guides. Because I believe our spirit guides are the ones that allow us to see and interpret information. So if you ask, okay, who owned this, I don't know, Russian doll set, right? The little like Russian dolls, the one that fits into another. This is just a hypothetical scenario. I think one of the ways your gifts may work, Kate, as your psychic abilities would to see the energy that is associated from the person that owned that object before. Again, I don't think you're connecting with that person's soul specifically. I think you're just seeing the energetic receipt, if you will, of the person that owned the item before you, which is really freaking cool. That would be like a form of physical mediumship, which is wild to me. So that is my answer for not only why did you see your living room, but if anyone else is thinking and asking the question, why did you see the woman's face above the doll? That may be why. Thank you, Kate, for your story. I appreciated it. Moving on to the next one. Our next story is by Elizabeth H. Thank you, Elizabeth, for your story. And the title of Elizabeth's story is The Reaper. Elizabeth says, so I've always experienced things since I was a toddler. So I've seen, felt, heard, and had certain dreams, nightmares, of course, and some came true. It's all escalated over the years to how much detail I can see. Now, when it comes to my house, I don't know if it's haunted, if there's a portal in a specific room that I've always hated since I can remember, or if my family is haunted, or if it's just me. Either way, when things start to happen in my house, it always starts with me. It happens in a sort of a process. It begins with me feeling watched for a little bit while it is building. Then, once the scary dreams start, I know I'm not sleeping well for at least the next 3 weeks. This specific time, it started as usual. The nightmares the first week, the second week, the nightmares and hearing some stomping coming down the hallway towards my room. And then the third week, this time, was different. I was experiencing nightmares as usual, but one night I woke up from one with sleep paralysis. During this time, I heard a woman's scream within my room and then the sound of heavy feet from something walking into my room towards my bed. It sounded so loud and clear despite my room having a rug. Suddenly, I felt as if I couldn't breathe and got pulled up and hit my head on the board of my bed. I didn't know if this night was just the sleep paralysis or if it all actually happened or just some of it. The last night with this thing, I had a specific nightmare, and I'm just going to give key points. The dream had like cabin in the wood vibes for a setting, but bodies were scattered everywhere. Then all the bodies slowly came to life, like ultra slow zombies. I found myself backed into a corner. I was terrified in the nightmare, and I knew now the goal of this dream was for me to feel hopeless, isolated, and trapped. Last thing I remembered from the dream was me in the corner and a voice asking me, who do you give your fear to? And I gave up and I said, I give to you. Side note, I was raised Christian and now I'm simply faithful. I do pray things away. So I woke up in a panic thinking, what did I just do? Realizing the thing had me in that dream. I looked straight towards my closet and realized it looked as if my room was filled with a gray haze. And I saw a figure like you and I, like you can touch and feel physically. I saw its side profile facing my dresser. It was almost as tall as my closet, wearing a black robe, and the bottom of the black robe was black and ashy and smoky. I saw it holding a huge black orb that was giving off the same ashy smoke. Then I realized its hands were just skeletal, long, thin bones. I finally looked up at its face and I only saw a white beak. As I'm staring at this thing like a deer in headlights, because this was the first time I ever saw something more than a shadow figure or white figure, it turned its head slowly towards me to reveal its face. At this point, I'm internally freaking the bleep out. Its face was just a skull, huge, hollowed out oval eyes and this boned beak. After staring for a few seconds, it started to spin its head counterclockwise, like straight out of a horror film. The rotation of its head started slowly and sped up so quickly. Then, all of a sudden, I felt peace come over me, and I finally spoke up. You are not allowed in this household. In the name of Jesus, you are banished from this home. As I spoke, my words kind of echoed. It disappeared upward into ashy black smoke, and then I woke up again. With how extremely real the encounter felt, I started to question if astral projection is real or if I'm just totally nutso. Lol, but yeah, that was my first actually terrifying eye-opener of an experience I had back in 2020. Elizabeth H. Elizabeth, this story was a whirlwind for me, let me tell you. And I have some talking points that I wrote down. Let's just get into them from there. So first things first, you say at the very beginning of your story, Elizabeth, that you've always had experiences since you were a toddler. That is okay. Let me just say that to all of the people that are listening to this podcast. If you had experiences when you were a child and then they went away, that is all right. It is my understanding that children and animals often are more perceptible to paranormal or spiritual activity because they do not have an ego. An ego is your learned sociocultural perception of the world around you. So when your mom says ghosts don't exist, that doesn't make any sense. Go back to bed. Monsters on your bed aren't real. That is an ego. The way you're able to rationalize the world around you. But if you don't have that, like an animal or a small child, then it's a lot easier for you to pick up and channel and perceive the things around you. But again, as your ego develops, those things can go away and that's entirely normal. So I just wanted to talk about that. However, Elizabeth, it seems that since you're having this happen in 2020, that's not the case for you. And it's also not the case for me. So I totally understand. Now, when you asked about being haunted, or if your family was haunted, or if your home was haunted, I feel like this encounter specifically was for you. Now, the reason I'm going to say that is because I don't think this is a poltergeist, because poltergeists are usually small potatoes. They're like manifestations of portions of yourself that are like anxieties, angers, sadness, stuff that could have been carried over from people that lived in the house before you, to like family drama that could manifest into a poltergeist, which is just a noisy ghost. But to have such a visceral experience that only really happened to you makes me believe that this experience specifically was just you. It wasn't the home, it wasn't your family or a portal, if you will. Now, this one specifically, the only answer that I get, or the only idea that I had while reading your story, was the description of this scary thing, right? This dream monster, what did you want to call it? The sleep paralysis, this like sleep paralysis monster, if you will, because you ended up having sleep paralysis and you woke up in a dream within a dream. So like, when you woke up, you were in your room and you saw like this gray smoke, and then you saw the weird, what is it called? plague doctor, right? That's what this thing looked like a very real plague doctor monster to you. That I have experienced that before. I've talked about this in a couple past podcasts where one of the only times I experienced like dreamception sleep paralysis, I would call it, like you did. So where you wake up and you're still dreaming, like in the nightmare, but it's not like the full nightmare. You're in your room, in your surroundings, and then you see the scary thing that you thought was giving you the nightmare. I've had that before. I had this very scary orange-eyed, I just remember them being like a lighter color, yellow or orange, sort of flowy, misty type of scary thing, but with really, really, really bright orange glowing eyes. And they had a female voice. And that's when I woke up from a bad dream that I was having. And I thought I was in my room because I could see everything that was going on in my room. And then this scary demon orange-eyed thing was like, no one's gonna hear your screams. And I was like, oh no. And then I woke up again inside of a dream. And anyways, so similar thing to you. However, when I was reading your dream and I saw that it was like, I was thinking maybe that you had a sort of scary external demon. I'm just using demon loosely. Negative entity, more solid, scary, whatever, like I did, like my orange-eyed demon lady. But then when I had the claircognizant interruptive thought that this might be a past life thing that you had to deal with. Hear me out. There is this woman called Anne Barham, and she does past life regressions in order to heal past life trauma. I've done a couple podcasts on past lives and how I think that past life trauma and having to heal it could be bogus. But I also talk about how it could not be bogus. It just depends on your life's path and what is meant for you, right? So like doing a past life regression and meeting your past lives and working through those traumas might help you. Other people may not need to do that. It's a very PRN basis, so as needed type of thing, right? So for you, though, the information that I get is that you may have had a past life where you died during the plague, right? Because this thing looks like a plague doctor to you. I feel like there's like a part of your soul. I don't know how this works. I don't. I just feel like there could be a part of your soul that, because if you listen to my podcasts on past lives, right? I talk about how I think that your current soul right now is like the child of all of your past lives put together and your higher self, right? So there might be a portion of your soul that is coming through kind of like a epigenetic wound, if you will. So like a soulful epigenetic wound. I feel like you were a man in a past life who died during the plague. However, a portion of your soul is not at rest because you were just so scared about all of the things that were going on. Now, one of the things that I wanted to look up, and I was looking up, but didn't have too much time to try and like search for the particulars, was prayers that someone might have said during the plague if they were afflicted with the plague, or plague doctors themselves would have said to patients when they were going from one sick home to the next. Because when I was reading the part where this scary plague doctor looking thing says, who do you give your fear to? And you just gave up and said, I give to you. I feel like this isn't necessarily a literal thing. I think it's more so a portion of this past life where you were so scared about just the circumstances of the disease and where you were and what was happening at that point in time in history for your soul, for that past life of yours. So it's almost like you had in this portion of your soul from this man that presumably died during the plague, this fear. And it's almost as if you have this life now in order to have this experience to remedy this portion of of your soul. I know that sounds really weird because you also say too, these are just the things that, again, clear cognizantly, like interrupted my train of thought while reading this. You talk about how you were raised Christian, but now you're just faithful, which is totally great. Super cool. I understand. But it's almost as if this past life of yours needed your current life and the faith that you have in this life, this faithfulness, to heal the part of their soul that their faith lacked when they were alive. Hence why when you had this overwhelming sense of calmness just overcome you, and you said that you're not allowed in this household in the name of Jesus, you're banished from this home. I honestly do think that you had the power of Jesus or whatever gods, deities, powers that may be, if you want to call them Jesus or not, just because this is your story, Elizabeth, I would say Jesus, to help heal and vanquish that part of this soulful thing that you have been dealing with for a while. I don't know why it would present in this life, but I think that your past life has been waiting for your current life in order to heal parts of their soul. And I know that sounds like a really freaking weird, trippy chime jump, but that's the answer that I have. And I hope you appreciate it. Or at least it intrigues you. You don't have to agree with it. Maybe it gives you something to mull on and find the answer yourself as well. So I don't know. I have had recently, I think I talked about in a past podcast where I felt that I was able to perceive the energy, the soul of Jesus, right? During a reading that I had with one of my clients, she was very worried about her faith and with her mother dying and her mother being very devout and religious, he ended up making an appearance during the reading. It was very weird. Since that has happened, I've had one other incident that I'm not going to take too much time to talk about, but I do feel that the energy aligned with that of Jesus, God, washed over me. I feel crazy talking about it, but I want to share this with you, Elizabeth, and anyone else that's listening, just so that you can also understand that maybe you're not crazy. I don't know. And the only feeling that I had was an overwhelming sense of peace and calmness. And it lasted just a gift of a moment, right? I think if I could explain how the energy of Jesus feels for me would be like warm honey and sunshine. But that's just me. So I don't know how to fully explain your story. However, I hope that I was able to give you some sort of insight that leads you to an answer, if not an answer for yourself. Now, our last story is sent in by Kaylee S., and the title of their story is Reincarnation. Kaylee says, "Hi, I have 3-ish stories of my own possible incarnations, and this is the first one. When I was little, I had a severe fear of death without having lost any close family or friends. I'm talking panic attacks where I'd zoom out into a black void mentally. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't really know how else to explain it. I'd often wake up from dreams where I just jumped or fell off a tall building. And since I've been having super vivid dreams, in particular, oddly enough, like one of your past videos, I woke up with the code of a specific aircraft from World War I. I don't think I died in the aircraft because something tells me I went back to my wife, but it was an odd occurrence nonetheless. Another story is that over the summer, I let someone read my past lives and they primarily focused on a past life of mine as a merchant. Apparently, this past life was well-liked and he was cared for in his community, but was attacked and killed by pirates out of the blue with an axe-like weapon to the stomach. Now, I have a pretty big birthmark on my stomach, which my family always question if I had a botched surgery in a past life. However, now I'm thinking it was the merchant. It would explain why my severe childhood fear of death and losing loved ones, even though I have not experienced anything like this in my lifetime yet. I find it interesting how now I'm a woman, but in my past lives, it seems I've been primarily men. My best friend and I joke that we were lovers in a past life because he is more feminine, whereas I am more masculine. Thanks for reading, Kaylee S. Kaylee, I love it. Now, to everyone that's listening, I shared this story not because I'm here to critique it, but just because I want others to, like, if you've thought about these things, your own sort of inclinations of what your past lives were, could be, have been, that's okay. That's why I want to share this, because it's like, it's okay to speculate and have instinctual, unexplainable things as to why you think you could have past lives as such things. Like, I have a lot of people ask me questions about their past lives, right? During like readings and things like that. And I will always answer your questions to the best of my abilities, but I feel like a lot of people send things in or ask me things in order to validate it. But I feel things like this, like Kaylee's story, are valid. Like, I don't think that you need me to critique or say, no, that's wrong, or no, this is right type of thing, because it's just fun to think about and fun to contemplate. And if you all have past lives that you think you have, maybe we could do a whole listener stories on past lives, just what you think and why your past lives are in a future listener stories. That would be really fun. If you want to send in past life readings that you've had, or past life regressions, or just the little things like Kaylee has here that you think could be your past lives and why, that would be really fun. I would really enjoy reading those. You can go down in the show notes or the description below, and there'll be a link that says, share your spooky paranormal stories here. Just title past lives or my past life stories, something like that. And I will be eager to read them and hopefully do a future listener stories on them just to share them, because I think it would be fun. Personally, I also liked Kaylee's story just because I also feel that I've lived a lot of lives as men, a lot of lives. I struggle with embracing my femininity, but I also feel like I know a lot, all of the things that women have gone through as women, but from a male perspective. Does that make sense? Is that a weird thing to say? I feel like I've lived a lot of lives as men, and I've lived a lot of lives as men in order so that I can start living the little few lives that I've had as women. I also feel like the few lives that I've had as women have been very interesting, maybe. Like, not, I think they've been harder for me just because I've lived more lives as men than as women, especially like in this life. Being a mom and becoming a mom in this life has been revolutionary for me, which I think it's a revolutionary thing that completely turns your world upside down regardless of past life things. But I think it's been a little bit hard. How do I explain this? I feel like, for some unexplainable reason, besides that I have an inkling to understand or feel that most of my past lives have been as men, that because of that, this life as a woman is like a big break, you know? Like, something my soul has been preparing for a while, and it's like, we got to get this right. It has to be cool. We have all this opposite information of what it was like to be a man that has prepared us for what it could be like as a woman in this life. And we can't mess it up. Like, the pressure is on. And that's kind of just how I feel personally in this life too. So that's just, that's my thing on past lives. I hope you all enjoyed this Sunday's podcast and listener story. Hopefully I will be able to research something fun for you guys. Nonetheless, have a lovely podcast next Sunday as well. I appreciate all of the support and lovely comments and everyone that's been booking readings with me. It's been fabulous. I've been doing a lot of pet psychic readings, which has been an absolute just joy and a half. This is the other thing that I was talking about with my husband too. I really like dogs. I have cats, but if I could pick between cats and dogs, I would probably get another dog before I get another cat. However, I love cat people. I've had a lot of, I would say I get more people that are cat owners that book pet psychic readings with me than dog people. However, I just adore all of you. The names that you give your cats are also one of my favorite things to explore and learn about when I meet all of you. I talked to a cat last night. His name was Scampers, and his nickname, one of them, was Shrimp Scampi. And that is just, that will forever keep a place in my heart and my mind for the rest of my existence. So things like that, it's amazing and it's a blessing to do the job that I do. So thank you all for supporting it. Anywho, I hope you all have a lovely Sunday. Thank you so much for listening and peace.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Have you ever killed a houseplant before? Don't worry, you are not alone. But what if I told you you're not destined to be a plant killer? What if I told you you could not only fill your home with gorgeous, luscious, happy, thriving plants, but live a happier life through caring for them? Hey, new plant friend, my name is Maria. I am a former plant killer turned happy plant lady and host of the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where it is my life's mission to help you grow happy plants and thrive alongside them. Because when you learn to care for plants, you really learn to slow down, connect with nature, and nurture yourself too. Each week, I share expert tips, inspiring conversations, and soulful planty wisdom to help you grow a greener, happier life. So if you're ready to turn your plant struggles into plant joy and get the green thumb you've always dreamed of, search Growing Joy with Plants wherever you listen to podcasts and hit subscribe. That's Growing Joy with Plants podcast. Let's grow some joy together.